950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt Patrick here. Hey, just an FYI, I'm going to be taking off the rest of the week. We're going to have Gregory Rich in here tomorrow. Robert Pilot's going to be here on Friday. I'll be back on a Monday. So I hope you have a good rest of the week. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein's going to be joining us here in just a little bit. I want to give Burrell credit because this is brilliant. And I'll paraphrase it a little bit, but I think he is just spot on. If a group, his tweet says, if a group of black people are protesting, and I'll say if a group of black people or Democrats are protesting, it's because something horrible has happened to somebody. If a group of Republicans are protesting, it's because they're being forced to care about people. Mwah! Mwah! Burrell, that's gold. That is freaking gold. He's exactly right. And it does lead to the question, how did the political party that claims to be the embodiment of Jesus on the planet get so angry about trying to help other people? Like, how dare you make me wear a mask? How dare you try to get health care for everybody? How dare you try to raise the minimum wage? Seriously, what happened to you guys? Oh, that's right. You're lemmings. Patrick, I'm in a lot of pain right now. Not emotional pain. I mean, that's like every day of the Trump presidency. But no, I'm actually in physical pain right now because I've been biking lately. I know. I look like the embodiment of fitness. But the reality is, I have this great bike. And we got this years ago. And what had happened is we had it a lot. We biked with kids. And this town, by the way, is great. This city is phenomenal. If you've got young kids and a burly, you can bike anywhere. And especially if you're looking for fun things to do with the kids, you can just bike to a different park. And for a kid, for like a five-year-old, a new park is like, holy ground. You know, it's look, they got a slide on the other side of their jungle gym. Whee! And off they go. It's brilliant. And I biked with it, and we had the Burley on, and of course, then we also had, at one point, when my kids got a little older, we had the secondary little thing you attach to the bike. I got tired of dragging people around. Let's just get just be done with it. So my bike, unfortunately, has been up in the rafters for quite a few years here. And I finally pulled it down. I got it fixed up, and I got, I had to get some new tires put on because the dry rot was so bad on them and stuff. But I got a new bike, or my old bike, and I got it fixed up. And I've been doing biking because as much as I like the hikes, as much as I like the hiking, I got to do something else because it's just, it's some days it's raining and sometimes the kids kind of go and go. I want to do something quick on my own. But got the bike. So I've been doing that today. And today I went further than I've gone in a while. I went 2 miles. No, I went further than that. But needless to say, I am ready to fold up on the floor here because I'm just, I'm in horrible shape. And at one point, I think my wife and I, at one point on our bikes, we biked over to Nokomis and back to our house in Hopkins. I mean, years ago, but, we biked all the way over there. And now it's like, you want me to go down to the gas station on the corner on my bike? Well, pack provisions and get me a Sherpa. Yee. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, I'm going to give you the choice today. Do you want the bunch of people are idiots, Republicans, people are idiots story, or do you want the truly horrible Republican from the Iron Range story? Your call. Which one do you want first?
Let's do the bunch of idiots.
Oh, bunch of idiots it is. We've got a winner because we have a bunch of idiots here. Courtesy of Rocks and Cows Facebook group, there was an article published last August declaring labeling satire as such as the most effective way we know to prevent people from taking satirical context as fact. Many commenters in recent posts to the Rocks and Cows North Facebook group missed the difference. Members of the lack an understanding of satire led to the comments on Bust a Troll article. Okay. The name of the article comes from Bust a Troll. FBI arrests Omar's son attempting to destroy a statue of Christ. Posted on the site on August 2 by members of Allison Knops to call for violence against Ilhan Omar and her son, John Omar. In the article, lawless thugs have been... Once again, this is a satire. This is a satirical piece written to basically mock conservatives. And the conservatives were like, hey, I love this. It's like, reminds me of when Colbert started and Republicans thought he was a real Republican. Lawless thugs have been taking down statues that mark our history all over America. They started with ones they found to be racially insensitive, but have since moved to any image that commemorates our history. In response to this, President Trump introduced a crime bill that would severely punish anyone caught vandalizing these structures. Mandatory 10-year sentences. Now in Minnesota, the first arrests have been made, which would see the sentencing be applied. Several Antifas... Seriously, it's like, do they walk down the street like a barbershop quartet where one's got like an A and one's got an Antifa, da-da-da, bright colored sweaters? I think they should go with that. Several Antifas were caught in the act as they attempted to destroy the statue of Jesus Christ at the Cal Ren Park in the small town of Alderaan. And you guys thought this was real. Alderaan. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that Star Wars 1? The Death Star took out Alderaan, right?
That's right.
Oh, there's been a cry in the Force. Yeah. 12 have been arrested in total. There were a very notable name among them. John Omar, son of Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar. He's been taken into custody and awaits his first court appearance. Special Agent Joe Barron of the FBI gave a statement that regards to this high-profile arrest and the recent bust of Antifa fascists as they attempted to destroy a historic monument to Christ on Alderaan. It was discovered the son of Minnesota Representative Omar was amongst those arrested. John Omar appeared to be leading the charge in this destruction and has been named as the ringleader. Now, there is a photo that accompanies this story, and you'd be surprised to hear that John Omar looks exactly like Bruno Mars. You got some music for me? Here it is. There it is. Ilhan Omar's son right there, John, singing his latest big hit. By the way, it should be mentioned that Bruno Mars was born, I think, in 1985. Ilhan Omar was born in 1983, so no. He's Antifa. You know, let's get that the Alderaan Antifa force here. Needless to say, these idiots thought this was true. That John Omar, who shares a remarkable resemblance to Bruno Mars, was in the Minnesota town of Alderaan. Destroying a statue of Chewbacca, I'm going to guess. How dare you violate that historic statue of Chewbacca? The Wookiees will never forget. Wow. This is where this gets scary. Because this large group of Republicans are complete idiots. They thought this story was true, and apparently none of them own a Bruno Mars album, I'm going to guess. Well, I guess, does that really surprise you? I don't think it does. Neither the labeling of the post a satire or the few seconds with the Mr. Google deferred to scorn from the mother and make-believe son. Other Rocks and Cows Facebook page members, this is what they were calling for against John Omar, a.k.a. Bruno Mars, for his alleged Antifa violence on the planet of Alderaan. Gordon Broski, hang him and light him on fire like Muslims do. Lavon Bodie, hang the disgusting little piece of crud. Jerry Agnes, hang him. Gene Anderson, death sentence. Kurt Lauterbach, jail and become Bubba's B-word. Chuck Knuckle, K-U-N-K-E-L. Here's where all of a sudden it gets a little bit, okay. Hang them both, burn them alive, anything goes. Is Chuck threatening a sitting U.S. Congresswoman with hanging and burning her because of a made-up satirical story? Yep. remind everyone out there, Brill is correct. These people are broken to the core. They are broken to the core. And God forbid, and once again, this is what it is this. God forbid any facts or anything. Alderaan, where did I hear Alderaan before? Oh, that's right. Didn't Republicans get mad about a group that came from the city from the Disney cartoon Aladdin? It wasn't Jafar. What was but they were furious about this. I'm like, I got news for you guys. It's a kids' movie. Here you are. It's Alderaan. These people, they want this to be true. They want this to be true, and so they'll run with it. Hey, but double your pleasure. Let's go to the northern Minnesota idiot, shall we? Julie Buria, B-U-R-I-A, the Republican-endorsed candidate for Minnesota House 6B, said on Monday night that she was forced to apologize over a social media post that used graphic Holocaust imagery and likened it to the state's coronavirus pandemic response. Mountain Iron Mayor Gary Scalco addressed the post on Monday's city council meeting, where Buria struck a more defiant tone from last week when she expressed regret for sharing it. But at the meeting, Buria, who has been a city councilor for about 2 years, flipped her statement and said she did nothing wrong. Once again, comparing the steps we are taking to deal with coronavirus to the Holocaust. I was forced to, but I did not specify by whom when asked why she initially apologized. Buria's post was shared last week to her personal Facebook page and read, "Any government with enough power to demand that you carry papers to move around freely is far more dangerous than COVID-19. Mind you, by the way, she wasn't upset at all when in Arizona they were had to carry papers around. Remember that? That was that sheriff down there. She thought that was probably great. I'm going to guess, just take a guess, that whenever it was brown skin people or something like that, that she was all for them carrying papers. Now, it should be mentioned that the piece of paper that she had was basically a notice that her husband had that he was an essential worker and was able to go to work in the early stages of the shutdown. Remember that? I had one here because I work at the media. But he had a piece of paper, and she compared the fact that her husband had a piece of paper to go. And mind you, no one was checking these pieces of paper. I drove here numerous times during that point, and not once did a police officer pull me over to ask me what I was doing out. No, it's basically giving you clearance that you're a necessary worker, so we have the paperwork there. The top photo had a Nazi officer checking a man's paperwork. The bottom was a graphic image of the mass grave during the Holocaust. The Mesabi Tribune did not republish the post because of the policy against running images of dead bodies. Never again let a government overreach to this degree, and here we are, Buria said at the council meeting. Did I compare it to that? Absolutely. Her words received the applause of more than 30 supporters in the audience. Wow. Mountain Iron is a big old racist, anti-Semitic habitat up there, isn't it? The dramatic about-face comes as the Minnesota GOP last Saturday said its endorsed candidate in Buria regretted the post and was sincere in her apology to not let it happen again. As of Tuesday afternoon, the GOP had not returned emails requesting comment on their candidate's newest remarks or claims that she was forced to apologize. Incumbent House GOP rep, it's a DFL rep, Dave Lisselgaard, said the post was not who we want to be on the Tuesday call for toned-down rhetoric. The whole situation is unfortunate and reflects badly on our region. Words really do matter, he said. We need to be thoughtful in our remarks and our actions, the best thing we can move forward and focus on the critical issues. Yet that evening, Buria doubled down on the meeting in the post, saying it was parallel to what's happening in Minnesota during the coronavirus response. Governor Walz in March issued stay-at-home orders. They're meant to limit the movements of residents and slow the spread of the virus, deeming some industries and employees essential. She referenced her husband, a truck driver at Mintac in Mountain Iron, coming home with a slip of paper identifying him as essential, being told to carry it with him in case he was stopped. Walz said he was issuing the orders in March that law enforcement was not being directed to randomly check of people moving about. So, you know, he gave them the piece of paper, but, you know, no one was really checking it. This is what happened to our freedom. This is what happened, she said, referring to the content of the post and apparently comparing essential workers' papers to the act of authoritarian government that committed the genocide of millions of Jewish people. One of her supporters in the crowd, Jeff Forseen, warned – I almost said the wrong word. Jeff Forseen warned that history repeats itself. Mind you, you guys, once again, these guys didn't have any problem when the where's your papers discussion was going on in Arizona. They probably had no problem with that at all. But now all of a sudden, because they feel like they're being persecuted – government took freedom from the Jews. They're taking freedom from us. No one's taking freedom from you. You can still go to work, for goodness sakes. Burry said multiple times in the meeting that Jews are not offended that the post itself was not offensive and blamed Steve Gregory, a Mountain Iron resident and executive director of the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, for circulating the post from her personal account on Twitter. Jewish community action on your personal account on Twitter. Wow, you people are idiots. Jewish Community Action Minnesota shared Beria's post on Twitter and asked, where's the bottom, in reference to the two Holocaust-themed posts last week by Beria and Wabasha County GOP. I feel like we should call her out. And, you know, if you really do have Jewish people who have no problem with this, I would love to meet those Jewish people. I would love to hear from the Jewish people that have no problem with you complaining that a not even a mild inconvenience. Your husband's able to go to work. They gave him a piece of paper because you created it into some sort of grand injustice, which it never was. I want to hear the people that feel, yeah, I lost every ancestor I ever had to the Nazis, and that's just in line with your husband having to go to work with having a piece of paper in the car. Wow. This is asinine and trumped up, she said during the council meeting, and if it wasn't running for the House, nobody would have sent it to my personal Facebook page and put this out publicly. Scalco and Gregory said last week that she should resign from her city council seat, but Beria said Monday she would vacate only at the end of her term if elected for the House in November. Gregory wrote in an email Tuesday that there was no parallel comparison and thanks Scalco for discussing the issue, noting the mayor had family members who killed during the Holocaust. After viewing the performance of Councilor Jerry Burry at the city council meeting last night and her explanation of how to use a photo of dead innocent victims of genocide is a parallel to her husband being provided with a slip identifying him as an essential employee during the stay-at-home order for Minnesotans, simply confirms my initial statement that her apology that she clearly stated was forced upon me. Gregory wrote, he called her apology last week hollow and continued on Tuesday, saying, having lived in this community all my life and known as many members of the city council, no one has disappointed me as an elected official like Miss Beria. City Councilor Joe Prebeg, P-R-E-B-E-G, said the mayor both said on Monday that being an elected official is a full-time position and their personal statements is a practical matter to reflect on the city and the council. Scalco said he received a letter from a Jewish group in Duluth among four or five other communications following the post. Burrier counted that she received several messages supporting her. When you're elected official 24-7, you can't get away with that, Perberg said. Your actions do represent the citizens of Mountain Iron. Yeah, you know, big old anti-Semite. And you know, and she's determined because this is truly what these people are. After 30 years of being brainwashed, they think someone saying, oh, by the way, your husband can go to work. Here's the piece of paper that lets him do so. How dare you? Not the people that were staying at home, that had to stay at home, that weren't essential workers. No, she literally had her husband had one of the tickets that got him to go to work like a normal person during that time. And she feels as if she's persecuted. She's a freaking idiot. And she's a bigot. And she's a huge bigot. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, we're really late at this point. Let's take a break right now. Come on back. I'll do the Minnesota coronavirus update, Stein, when we do come back here in the back half of the show. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
Get $50 for your trade-in regardless of condition when you buy your new appliances from Warner Stellion. Buy at Warner Stellion and you get our already low price guarantee. trusted free delivery, professional installation, and 18 months no interest financing. Choose from thousands of in-stock appliances with friendly specialists who save you time and money. Say goodbye to your tired appliances and get $50 rebates for a limited time from the specialists at Warner Stellia.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Democracy Now! Coming up here after the show. And then, of course, Pilot's Party coming up at 5 o'clock. He's got Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson and Liz Carr from the Strong Hearts Native Helpline. They will both be joining Robert coming up here at 5 o'clock hour. Make sure you stay with us all afternoon right here on AM 950. I'll get Chris in here really quick. Chris in St. Paul, he wanted to chime in on the papers request. Welcome on in, Chris.
Hey, Matt. Well, I was thinking, you know, having to show a piece of paper that I'm allowed to go out at this time to work is not much different than having to show a license that I'm allowed to drive at all, or showing proof that I have insurance so I can have my car on the road, or, you know, showing that I don't have any restrictions on when I can be out or anything like that.
And Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. You're exactly right. Chris is exactly right. He is. I mean, what is this woman like when she walks into a bar and they ask for her ID? Hitler! Is that what she's like? I mean, because, you know, your detachment from reality is pretty extreme. And once again, you don't have any problem. I mean, companies say you need to show an ID to pass a check. You have to have a driver's license to drive a car. You have to, you know, to go drink, to buy liquor, to buy cigarettes, you have to have an ID. This happens all the time. And my God, we just had, within the last 10 years, a major story about people in Arizona because the Republican down there, sheriff, wanted people to have to carry papers, which, you know, was because they were going to get harassed. Not here in Minnesota. You're not going to get harassed. It was basically a token piece of paper. But down there, did she get upset about that at all? Of course not. Of course not. She's lost the game. She is sitting in the middle of the night. It's 2 in the morning. The game ended at 10. She is sitting on the field saying, "Get everyone back here! I can still win this!" And she's being egged on by the 30 fans who are sitting in the stand saying, "We still believe you can win." She's an idiot. And like I said, I would love to hear the Jews who basically think that you using Holocaust imagery to validate or try to make your arguments towards being discriminated against when you're not being discriminated against more valid. The Jewish people, I would love to meet the Jewish people who have given you support by basically turning the Holocaust into almost an adjective to be used anytime you have a minor inconvenience. And once again, there isn't even a minor inconvenience here. Just insanity. She's a loon ball. I mean, and she's a loon ball. Good job, Mountain Iron. Good job. The anti-Semitic capital of Minnesota, I guess. 9 deaths and 629 lab-confirmed infections with the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 were reported Wednesday by the Minnesota Department of Health. The news cases bring the state's totals to the pandemic to 1629 deaths, 5779 infections confirmed through diagnostic testing. The state reported that 305 people with COVID were hospitalized on Wednesday following a one-day surge on Tuesday that had temporarily pushed that total up to 328. Among the patients in the hospital, 152 needed intensive care. Now, both of those numbers, the hospital numbers, are higher. And the intensive care number is, once again, that's getting higher. And that's it was down to about, what was it, 130s, 120s. And now we're up to 152 again. All the BEFs involved people 50 and older, 5 involved people in private residences, and 4 involved people who have lived in long-term care and assisted living facilities. Among the COVID-19 deaths in Minnesota, 78% have involved residents of such facilities who are at greater risk due to their age and underlying health problems. Lab-confirmed infections with the virus have been increasing in Minnesota, with COVID exit strategy website reporting the daily average count in the state has increased by 16%. To 697 confirmed infections per day on average. That's a lot. That's a lot. State health officials. And once again, we still haven't had the fallout from Effie. We still haven't had the fallout from Effie. State health officials remain concerned that the rise in confirmed cases could produce a resulting increase in hospitalizations and death. The increase in infections this summer started in teenagers and young adults, with some outbreaks being tied to the limited reopening of indoor bars and restaurants. As a matter of fact, now you're starting to see people saying, you know what, you probably should shut down the bars. And is this really a big surprise? You've got a place where people go, they drink, they unwind, they lose track of what they're supposed to be doing. And you're getting COVID. And, you know, that's the scary part, is there seems to be a lot of people. There are a lot of people who don't know that they're sick that are going on out and they're making other people sick. But don't fool yourself. There are a lot of people that are sick and they know they're sick and they know they're not feeling well and they're going out. I mean, once again, in the Effie and the rodeo thing in Effie, that. The guy was diagnosed the next day. It wasn't like he, you know, so he clearly knew something was wrong, because, you know, and I, you know, you can't stop people from being idiots. And this is an outcome of the world that we live in today. You know, people feel as if, you know, wanton ignorance is a counterpoint to intelligence. And this is how you get Trump. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Stein does join us. We'll talk national presidential politics with him. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces strives to maintain a healthy environment for their customers and employees. They invite you to visit weekdays 9:30 to 5:30 and Saturdays 9:30 to 4. You'll find an uncrowded and comfortable social space to learn about Woodland Stoves' many indoor and outdoor fireplace products. More at woodlandstoves.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
You waited and now you save. Zero Resin AM 950 are partnering for an end of summer carpet cleaning sale. This month you can get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Res clean for just $119. Their patented powered water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Plus, keep the air in your home fresh by taking $50 off your air duct cleaning. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call to get these big savings. That's 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks, Todd Colet, for sponsoring AM 950. You can, too. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. Todd wants to remind you we have a primary day coming up here next Tuesday. You can vote as well, either in person or you can do a mail-in absentee vote. Of course, and they've extended those rules now for the general election here in the state of Minnesota. Go to the Secretary of State's webpage to find out more information on where you can vote, the process for you, the options that you have on the table. MNVotes.org. That's MNVotes.org. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books and TotallyIowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his weekly showdown in Iowa, and he joins us from KXEL, where he puts out the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, how are you on this Wednesday?
I'm doing well. I saw that you're disappointed that you're not included on Trump's list of approved bait monitors.
It was just perfect. Somebody tweeted out a list of the individuals that the president approved of, and it went down to the last name on the list was somebody whose last name began with S, but it was before ST, and so I just simply assumed that, you know, they needed to turn the page over and there'd be more of us on the back.
Yeah. Jared Trump, Ivanka Trump, Eric, Donald Jr. You know, dear Lord, that list, I saw the list. I'm like, I mean, Dracula, you know, it's Vlad Putin, you know, it's like, you know, he's looking for a bit of a ringer here, it looked like.
Well, there are plenty of Fox News people. There are also plenty, I will give them some points on this, very diverse in terms of gender, in terms of ethnicity. Nora O'Donnell was on the list. I'm not sure she's happy about that necessarily. By the way, yesterday on my not at all award-winning radio program, I had Eric Trump on.
Did you?
I did.
Did you get to tell him he was an idiot?
No, I let the audience figure that out because he actually, Matt, gives very good answers. Now, they're not the answers to the question I asked, but they're very coherent and they're, you know, so.
Well, he talks about Minnesota back for, or America back from the dead and puts up the, you know, he's an idiot. I mean, yesterday, because that was yesterday he did that. He put out that tweet that says America is back from the dead and he posted the stock market numbers. And I'm like, dear God, you've got 1,500 people dying a day in this country. How cold and stupid do you have to be? I'm presuming you did not bring up that tweet.
Well, actually, I don't follow him on the Twitter machine, and I didn't see it.
Really?
Actually, what I was doing is getting ready because I have, I think, one of the rare broadcast interviews with the Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate in Iowa on Friday morning.
Well, there you go.
And I mentioned that so that your audience doesn't start flaming me with, well, of course you'd have the Trump spawn on the air.
Well,
Greenfield will be on the radio with me on Friday morning. So
trust me, I know Jeff. Jeff, most of his answers begin with "Really?" And, Eric would say something, and Jeff would "Really? Okay." All right.
There are a lot of pauses while I'm struggling to think. Okay, what do I ask now? Nah, let's go with this.
Speaking of bad interviews,
online, if you want an example of bad broadcasting. It's podcast for you.
Well, no, it's not. Not your interviews, but bad, you know, bad people doing them. Trump doing this Axios interview.
Oh, heavens. Heavens
to merch. Well, as I made the point, the thing which makes me angry about this is that it really is disappointing to see how few media outlets actually talk to this guy like he's the president. I mean, that was no harder than any interview that was given to Obama, and even it was treated harsher than Trump is by most of the media. I mean, most of the media acts as if, look, he burped on his own. He's a big boy. He's good enough. He finished off the entire tub of paste. And no one really challenges him. Jonathan Swan, in that interview, did more damage to Trump. And as a matter of fact, weren't you kind of surprised a little bit that the White House didn't shut that interview down at some point?
You're not going to shut the president down because he will, he'll take your credentials, your little pass that you wear around your neck. He'll take it directly personally because nobody there tells him what to do about anything. Do you think? I mean, clearly he has his own counsel. And there's no way anybody's going to interrupt. And if they try, as I say, he'll just smack them back.
The Swan, you know, here's the deadliest thing for Trump right now is and an interviewer who knows the facts and will challenge him when he says something that he knows is not true, because there came that point when they were talking about the coronavirus numbers. And Trump, you know, came in with his pre-prepared, you know, very bare minimum look. I've got shiny graphs that look really pretty, trying to make this seem right. And Swan just kept knocking him back. And you could see it in Trump's face, like, no, these numbers are good. You can't look at it, the amount of deaths per population. You can't look at things like this like he actually can dictate how things are perceived. I mean, it really was a shocking interview to watch how dismantled he got by Axios.
Well, and what's also interesting to me is who gets an interview. Mm-hmm. The guy from Barstool Sports? What is that about? I mean, he does an appearance on Fox Business. Trump likes it and then says, why don't you call that Barstool guy? I'd love to have him on. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes, you know, a love fest, because it's the same thing, but on a much larger scale. And you know this from your experience, but it used to be, prior to this administration, that they would make a big deal, any White House, and again, this is folks, regardless whether you were a Republican or Democrat, they would invite certain local reporters in, and the idea is, sure, we'll give you a one-on-one interview, come to the White House, etc. And the thought is that the journalist is going to be so awed by the whole thing that they're not going to ask challenging questions. Mm-hmm. And, of course, local stations love to have their guy interview, you know, the big office holder, et cetera. And so it's not a surprise in one respect that you invite people in who you know are going to just kind of very meekly put it out there on a tee. This last 3.5 years has taken that to a whole different level, though, mm-hmm. to the exclusion of individuals who might ask a question that actually has depth or tries to challenge. And you're getting just these, again, just kind of random sort of things. And I think the strategy, of course, is they're not asking a lot of questions. And I was flip a little bit ago when you said, did you ask him about this and this? I said, no, I just let him talk, let the audience decide. I think that's actually what you're seeing in a lot of these, where you just kind of lay it out there and say, okay, if we give him enough rope, yeah, he'll just take care of it.
But
again, will that actually happen in a way that will have an impact in a general election? I don't know.
Well, and Swan did try to do that. I mean, on the John Lewis question, I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's the easiest layup of politics. I mean, an honored statesman passes away, even if they're from the other party. All the best. Their legacy lives on. All my best to his family and be done with it. Mm-hmm. And there was almost this in you could see in Swan's face, like, oh, my gosh, he really is. Well, he didn't come to my party and I hate him. And, you know, he didn't come to my party. He didn't come to the inauguration. He doesn't like these things. So, this pettiness. Now, he didn't say I hate him, but either this pettiness, this, you know, you have to bow down to me thing. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people on the Republican side that love this guy. But even at that point, I mean, you are starting to get to where only the real sycophants are going to be on board with anything like that.
Well, it is partly because certain people like to see things that are actually how they would do it. And so you have this small amount of people who say, well, John Lewis called him an illegitimate president and did not go to the inauguration. Well, there, he didn't go to the to pay his respects. OK, see, I'd have done that. But there's supposed to be a difference. There is supposed to be a difference between we and the person in the Oval Office. We always like to look up to the person in the Oval Office. We want to think that not just anybody could do the job, right? And so when there's a group of people who say, yeah, boy, if only people would just speak their mind and do that, well, maybe, but realistically, there is a level of be the bigger person. There is the level of decorum that is associated with this. Now, could he have handled it much differently, even by not attending? He could have said, for example, well, I know that I respect what Representative Lewis stood for. I respect the fact that we were on different sides, and he was not he did not believe that my election was appropriate. And so out of respect for the family, I don't want to draw attention. I don't want to be part of a spectacle. Could have said something
fine.
Like that.
Yeah, fine. Absolutely.
But you're not at all surprised that this individual didn't say it that way, right?
Well, but what's interesting is after the Jennifer Rubin column in the Post, where she basically said the one thing that Trump has to do to win is something that he is truly incapable of, and that's become empathetic, become relatable, can become, you know, care about the American people. And once again, here you have this case where even the slightest bit of protocol or you know, just, you know, empathy or just basic respect escapes the guy. And, you know, here you –
there's a conundrum here because and I don't know the full details. I was doing other things, and so I apologize. You'll know the story.
Yes.
Earlier this week, he had some people in the Oval Office, including a woman of color who – was there a death in the family from
something? It was the military. It was – yeah. What happened is when Obama got ready to speak for John Lewis's memorial service – that yes. Trump, because this was nowhere on anyone's schedule, the White House press corps frantically got called by the press office, said, get it back in here because there was an African-American soldier who was killed on one of the bases. And so he brought in – and basically to stop Obama from getting coverage during the John Lewis thing, they created this event out of thin air, forced the press in there to try to basically try to stop Obama from getting the visibility that he was going to get by speaking at John Lewis's memorial service.
Okay. So at the very least, what he's doing is competing for attention. At the very least. Right. Okay.
At the very least. I mean, it was a petty little attempt to basically turn the cameras on me. That's all it was.
I was being as neutral as I possibly could. It's decorum, right? I'm using decorum. At some point in that, he says to her something about, I'll help you with the funeral. I'll take care of paying for it or whatever. Where he literally says, I know you're going to have a hard time. Let me write a check. And one of the reporters sent something to the chief of staff kind of in the other room or off mic or whatever and said, does he do this? You know, what was that? And the answer was, he does it a lot more than you may think. Okay. Here's my takeaway from that. His idea of showing empathy, because he's not the kind of person that just gives you a big bear hug or puts his arm around you or can convey it in words. The only thing he knows is, gosh, you're really hurting. Where's my checkbook? And that is not the kind of thing that can work when you're talking about, for example, a pandemic and record unemployment, right?
Well,
you can't just write a check to everybody. And so what I'm saying is I'm saying this as respectfully as I can. I don't think he's equipped to show the kind of empathy that some of his predecessors have.
Well, no, he can't show any empathy. I mean, it's not even a comparison, really. But the problem is that – and I understand what you're saying. And if he did this on a regular basis, then that might be something worth watching. But this is – he treats it like it's a freaking game show. He treats it like it's a,
where did success?
Exactly. Because he doesn't do it for everyone. He was desperately trying to look like, oh, look at me. I'm a kind guy. I would follow up. Did he ever give her the check? Because reminder of two things. One, he had a charity which he and his family were ransacking for their own purposeful use. This is the reason why they're in legal problems in New York right now, is because they defrauded the people with their fake charity. And on top of it, if I'm not mistaken, he has not given every one of his paychecks to a charitable group. He gave a few, but most of the rest of the paychecks he has not given on out. So he, you know, there's that moment he says it, but he's just looking to basically, yeah, look, I have some level of compassion and empathy. He doesn't really have this. He doesn't do this with any kind of consistency. It's all calculated, which basically means he doesn't have any.
Okay. And that's a fair thought. I'm going with he's awkward enough that the only thing he can think of is, could I pay for the funeral? You know, I mean, it's just kind of this randomness. Now, my understanding is that the checks have – that he has not taken the checks. They may have gone to other portions of the government to – and I don't even understand how that works. Okay, but supposedly – I saw a post the other day that talked about some went to quote-unquote charities and others were dispersed to different areas of the federal government. Regardless, the broad point is one of the things we look to in our elected officials, especially the president. The president has to be a lot of things in chief, right?
Mm-hmm.
Commander in chief, to be the compassionate leader in chief, consoler in chief. There are a lot of different things that have to be done. One of the things that I haven't paid enough attention. I don't know that I understand it though, but he keeps popping up doing all of these one-on-one interviews. And my first reaction is to say, those take a lot of time. So when are you doing the presidenting thing? But in his world, that is the presidenting thing. And so I don't know if you're a Trump opponent, if you're actually encouraging him to do more interviews because, A, he might hang himself, but, B, the more he's doing interviews, the less he's sitting behind the desk.
He's not doing anything anyway. And I think this. I mean, empathetic presidents was Obama. Obama, but at the same time, as compassionate and caring as President Obama was to the American people, the right would criticize him if they felt he blinked too many times during the national anthem. Meanwhile, this guy didn't soil himself in a meeting with the mother of a dead soldier, and people act like, well, look at it, it's the second coming of Jesus. And I think that we have to the reality is that we have to kind of stop. I mean, this is the Jonathan Swan thing. You have to stop treating him like with kid gloves. And if you don't treat him, I mean, if that Jonathan Swan interview would have happened before the election in 2016, I don't think he would have been president. And I am dead serious. That was a brutal takedown. And dear God, where are the journalists that do that sort of thing today?
Number of times he blinked during the national anthem. Well,
They would.
No, I just love the way you phrased it. Here's the thing. I'll give you Bill Clinton on the empathy. I think he is the one who personified it for the generation. I think more so than Obama, but that's regardless. The point is still very much the point, because this is a guy who looks good in a suit and looks way out of place in golf clothes. Now, neither one of us need to be talking about how people look when they're trying to do athletic things. But the point is that, you know, I don't. This is not something that comes natural to him.
Yeah.
And so he's doing other things. Now, whether he ever wrote this woman a check for a funeral, I don't know. But my point is, I think he just blurts stuff out.
And, well, no, I think that's a fair statement for sure. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the latest electoral map. We'll also talk a little bit about the primaries from last night and talk about the Republican scrambling. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
There's a lot going on that makes it easy to lose your cool these days, but Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to make sure that doesn't happen. This August, you can get a brand new air conditioner for just $2,500 with the purchase of a high-efficiency furnace. Standard Heating is also offering low payment options or 0% financing, which is also pretty cool. Find out more at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Jeff Stein joining us talking national politics today. Jeff, the latest from electoralvote.com, 372 for Biden, Trump at 150. And once again, that takes the states individually, not as a national poll. The only real major difference right now is Ohio has kind of gone to slightly Republican. But when you look at what happened yesterday, and there were some primaries around the country in Missouri and Michigan, Kansas, amongst other places. You really can't get too much of a national trend, but I want to get your thoughts on in Missouri, the voters there, which, once again, this is a state that was 19 points for Trump. Voters in Missouri approved an expansion of Medicaid for 460,000 people. And there does seem to be, if you can take anything away from yesterday, there does still seem to be this underlying current of people might not like progressive candidates, but they sure do seem to like the progressive ideas.
And that has to do with not just with message, but how it's delivered, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have the ability. I mean, you know, a broader point, think of Kansas, right? You didn't just have the reddest candidate. You had the one that had a better chance of getting elected. And this is one of these things that you've got to be able to convey exactly how it is you're going to make that particular change, that policy change. Because, yes, many of these are popular in and of themselves, but it's how they attach to a candidate on the ballot that makes all the difference. And, again, how do you pay for it?
And basically, this was the expansion of the Affordable Care Act that the Republican mm-hmm. governor and the Republican politicians in the state did not want to go through. Kobach did lose there, and Chris Kobach in Kansas there. To the Republicans, they felt like if he was going to win that seat was viable, that the Democrats could have picked that up.
I saw more than one pretty neutral analyst say this greatly enhances the Republicans' chance of holding on to the Senate, and they say it because had it gone the other way, they would have flipped that state in the column, and there was virtually no map to success. Now, for example, Monmouth just did a poll in the state of Iowa that shows the Republican president, the Republican U.S. senator, both ahead of their Democrat challengers, but it's within the margin of error. And the reason, the thing to look at, in the polls, Biden is outperforming Clinton in many of these so-called swing counties. That is huge because you have said for a very long time, Democrats are going to show up. The ones who stayed home 4 years ago aren't going to stay home this time. And the polls would tend to bear out the fact that for whatever reason, Biden is doing better than Clinton in some of these key counties across the country. And that's why you're seeing the potential of an electoral map that is as big a victory as what you just laid out.
Well, in the Senate map for Maine and Arizona, those two seats alone make the Republicans. Yeah. There's no room for error at this point, so they have to hold those seats. Jeff, that's going to do it for us today. I got to let you go a little early here. Jeff Stein, once again, books at Next Chapter Books, and I'll put out the Iowa Politics Report, and I'll even post your Eric Trump interview, okay?
Oh, you are a guy.
I am a fella. Have a good time. I'll talk to you next week, okay? Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us for his usual weekly visit. Once again, I want to thank Gregory Rich, Robert Pilot. They're going to be in for me the next 2 days. I will be back on a Monday. Have a great rest of the week, everyone. Until Monday. See ya.